this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I am thrilled to bring you a conversation that I'm having with Sherry Fox. Sherry deals with business entities and transactions, civil and commercial litigation, and real estate and land issues on any given day, sometimes all in one day in her practice. Occasionally, she is involved in the cases she enjoys the most, which are adoptions. At this stage in her career, Sherry is still juggling many aspects of the law as one of Thompson McMullen's brightest associates. When not practicing law, Sherry serves as a member on the board of directors for the Hilliard House and is assistant chair of Kids in the Kitchen Committee, Junior League of Richmond. She is married and has one child. Sherry is a graduate of Washington and Lee Law School, or School of Law, where she served as the managing events editor of the Journal of Civil Rights and Social Justice. A native of New York City, Sherry attended George Mason University, where she received a Bachelor of Arts degree with distinction in government and international politics. Sherry, I am delighted to have you here on the call today.
Thank you, Kendra. I'm delighted to be here with you. It's very exciting.
It is exciting, and I'm thrilled to have this time with you to pick your brain a little bit and draw from your experience. So with that, why don't we jump right in to the questions, and I'm hoping in the midst of, and I'm guessing that in the midst of your answers to the questions over the next half hour or so, we'll get into these, get into your bio a little bit and your history and some of the interesting work that you're doing in your career and outside of it. Thanks. All right. Well, Sherry, I'm wondering, first of all, if you were to look back over your life up to this point, and drawing from your experience and your personal history, would you say that balancing and juggling between your work and your life, your personal and your professional, is something that you've always felt came easily to you or that you were good at? Or was it something that you kind of got by or maybe didn't do so well, and then there came a critical point where you had to do something differently?
It is definitely the latter. I can say that without any hesitation. You know, when I first started practicing, I'm entering now my fourth year of practice, and when I first started practicing, I think like most young, hungry lawyers, there wasn't much of a balance because my emphasis then was on learning as much as I could, getting out there, and for me, being primarily a litigator, getting out there, getting as much trial experience as I could, and really distinguishing myself amongst my colleagues because I was the newbie, and I needed to get in and I needed to work hard, which meant lots and lots of long days and weekends as well. And so certainly I think in the beginning, although I was married before I started practicing, I just focused really hard on starting to build my practice and getting out there. And it wasn't until actually I had my daughter, Sophia, which was last year is when I had her, that I really had to reevaluate and think about, okay, you know, I can't keep going this way because she needs me, and now our family structure has changed, and quite frankly, my priorities have changed now that she's here, and that's when I really had to take a step back and reevaluate and think about how exactly I was going to go about restructuring my practice and where I gave my time and my attention.
It seems like so often that child, when they come into our lives, it turns everything upside down and makes us really need to do some different thinking about what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things, I think, people tell you that that happens, but you just, it's not until you're actually in that situation that you really find yourself struggling with it and you start thinking, well, how do I do this? And I think for most women attorneys, if not all, it's typically something like that, that really makes them reassess. And, you know, our profession is one that prides itself on you going that extra mile and putting in that time. And it's hard to I wouldn't say scale back, because I don't think I do any less work now than I did before. I just think it makes you work more smartly, if that makes more sense. It makes you consider what you need to do, when you need to do it, you know, what's most important, and you have to fit that into your new schedule.
And I like how you put it, you have to work smarter. You know, it's not that you're doing more or less necessarily. In fact, you've probably are becoming more efficient and just more focused because you have that competing priority now that you want to get home and spend time with or have the energy and the focus to be fully present for. So you find ways, and I'm sure we'll get into some of them because I'd love to learn what you've utilized and what you've done in order to work smarter so you could have that more balance.
Sure.
Sherry, what would you say then has been your biggest challenge if you were to think about maybe since Sophia was born or along the way as you reevaluated and you thought, oh, I need to figure out a way to create more balance and more alignment between who I am personally and who I am professionally. What was your biggest challenge in making that a reality?
I think my biggest challenge was examining the time I spend and finding a way to spend it more efficiently. Because I think we all who are practicing learn that time management is essential. And I think that's really essential to anyone working. I mean, generally speaking, you know, if you're an executive or you have, you know, any career where you have a high demand on your time, that's always a thing we're all chasing is how do I get more time or how do I work smarter? And for me, it was definitely trying to figure out how I could reassess, how I could step back and look at my schedule and make it work for my new life. And it's been a challenge because when I first came back to work, I had sort of a double guilt going on. On the one hand, I felt guilty about not wanting to be here to some extent at work because I felt like before this I had built up this persona of who Sherry A. Fox Esquire was at Thompson McMullen, right? I want to be a go-to. I want to be someone that and they always know that they can rely on me. I'm going to get the job done no matter how much time it takes. I'm going to stay here as late as I have to. I'm going to be a go-getter, and I'm going to get the job done, and I'm going to get it done well. But the competing interest, of course, which we've already, you know, identified, is being there for my daughter. And so I also had guilt on the other side of I'm not there for her. I need to be home more for her. I need to be there on time. You know, my husband and daughter need to be able to rely on the fact that I'm going to get home at this time and I'm going to be fully engaged in being home when I'm there. And so that was definitely, and to some extent continues to be, although I feel like I'm in a much better place now, but that was definitely my biggest challenge, was looking at the time and trying to reconfigure it in a way that addressed both my needs professionally and my needs personally.
Trying to make that 60 minutes in an hour stretch.
Yeah. Yeah.
How to best use that beautiful little, those windows of time that you have.
Exactly.
Well, Sherry, then, and on the flip side of that, if you were to think about your biggest lesson or what mm-hmm. you've learned that really maybe a philosophy or a way of thinking or just some big lesson that you could say really gave you a shift or a perspective on how to create balance, what would you say that lesson or teaching has been?
I think the lesson has been that it's absolutely essential to prioritize and to not become, for me, too emotionally attached to my work. And let me explain what I mean by that a little bit. To some extent, I think the biggest lesson for me was leaving the office at the office. So giving my all when I was here and making sure that I got all those things done and I got myself in a place where I felt like I had accomplished what I had set out to do, but being able to also then remove myself and be home when I'm home and be fully engaged in that. And it's essential to do that, I think, because while there are times that it's going to overlap and there are times when you're going to have to do things that are required for work at home and maybe interrupt your family life a little bit, you can get it all done. You really do have to step back, I think, and be willing to reinvent your schedule. You really have to say, okay, you know, what are my priorities? What are my goals at work? And what are my goals at home? And I didn't really think I was going to be able to do what I think when I first started out. I thought it's just going to be too hard. I'm just not sure how I'm going to get this done. I was wondering, how the heck does anybody else get this done? Mm-hmm. You know, because I know plenty of women attorneys who are doing it, and who are doing it exceptionally well. You know, they're out there and they're building their practices and they're making sure that, that their professional lives are not getting left behind while giving the time they really need to give to ensure that their family life is wholesome. But for me, the biggest lesson has definitely been compartmentalizing to some degree and making sure that, you know, I give the attention I need to my professional life, but not being afraid to think outside of the box on how it is that I can accomplish those things professionally without doing it to the detriment of my personal life, and finding that I actually could do it with a little bit of strategy, you know, was a huge lesson for me, because before I think I very often felt like I had to be here all day, and that was the only way it was going to get done. And now I find that I am getting it done. I'm just doing it differently.
Your suggestion to compartmentalize and really think about leaving the office at the office and then stepping into the home and being fully focused on that, that's such a great idea. Not that we can ever fully separate ourselves from our work,
right.
And that's why, you know, even the term work-life balance, it's not as if they're separate little silos that go on and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to put on my work hat and I'm going to put on my life hat, but there is a certain amount, there's a large amount of control that we have between bringing work home or bringing other things into the office that don't necessarily need to be there. And so your suggestion to compartmentalize and try to figure out a way to shut down the computer and shut the door on the office, be it literally or figuratively, and really step into the rest of your life, it makes so much sense.
Because I think you have to be present. You know, you have to make yourself present. And again, I'm speaking from the perspective of someone who's primarily a litigator, because I think it is different. You know, when you're a litigator, what happens is you get so steeped in this case that you're working or these cases that you're working. You may not just be one big case. You may have several of them, and oftentimes, I'm sure, do have several of them going at one time. And you get so steeped in it, and you have these furious periods of time when you're doing all these things. You have discovery, and you've got, you know, all these responses that you need to get out and you need to answer your client, and maybe this other one has settlement negotiations going on. And it's very easy to sort of lose yourself in all of that and lose yourself in the worry that goes along with that. I think women who are litigators know what it's like when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, holy smokes, like I know I didn't serve that on time, or should I have rewritten that interrogatory, you know, before I sent it out, or, you know, oh, I know what I should have included in the subpoena, you know, and you get really bogged down in those things. But you have to say, you know, first of all, the world's not going to end if you're not there right then to address that issue. The key is being flexible, I think, and being honest with your client about when you're going to get back to them, because you can get all those things done, but I think oftentimes we just feel like it's a now proposition when it really isn't.
That's exactly right. I think that sometimes we feel like everything has to be done right now. And really, we're the only ones who are expecting that of ourselves. If we told
exactly.
other people, you know, they understand. Other people, I mean,
mm-hmm.
obviously there's deadlines and things that need to be done at a certain time, but in the big scheme of things, it's almost as if once we put it on our mental or physical to-do list, it just
mm-hmm.
screams at us until it's done. But we can
exactly.
push those things off a little bit. Like you said, it doesn't have to be done this instant,
right.
and we can be a little more gentle with ourselves.
Exactly, exactly.
Sherry, stemming from or maybe distinct from the big lesson that you mentioned, or what you've learned about compartmentalizing and really making space so that you can be fully present in different parts of your life, what would be maybe two or three different strategies or things that you've done or found effective, things that you've
mm-hmm.
put to use in your own life? Maybe they're very practical things or tools that you've used, or even just, I don't know, sometimes it's quotes or ways of thinking or something that could be immediately implemented into someone's life or very easily implemented
mm-hmm.
that could make a big difference.
Well, I think all the things that I have implemented in my practice are really practical things. I like to think anyway that they're really practical things. I'm not a rocket scientist. I think, you know, that what I've done, I think one of them I've sort of already mentioned is reinventing my schedule. And by that, I just mean I try to take advantage of my time as wisely as possible. So when I'm here, you know, I typically work from 9 a.m. to 5:30, 6 p.m., give or take. And a lot of times that doesn't afford me enough time to get all the billable work done that I need done. But I realize that, you know, I get home, I spend a certain amount of time with my daughter, and I actually do have an hour or two in there, not oftentimes more than that, but I have that time where I can go ahead and I can bill another hour, you know, whether it's in the evening or whether it's early in the morning, and I just realized that quote-unquote downtime, which I'm not sure that moms ever really have downtime, but, you know, that time when I'm not otherwise engaged in something is precious, and for me, in the kind of practice that I have to use it as wisely as possible. And so I did that. You know, I leave the office when I know I need to leave it, and I go home and I spend time with my family. I spend time with my husband and my daughter, and, you know, I'm there to have dinner with them. I'm there to give her a bath. I'm there to read books to her and put her to bed and play, and all those things are, I mean, unbelievably important to me. And so I make sure that I do that. And sometimes it means that, you know, around 9 or 10 o'clock, I am sitting in front of my laptop finishing up something. I am checking my iPhone to see what new emails may have come in. And it's not always like that, but I realize that that's what I need to do in order to give myself peace of mind and to ensure that my family is getting from me what they need, in addition to ensuring that my client is getting from me what they need. So that's one thing I do for sure. The other thing is I think it's essential to use your resources. So this sort of ties into some of what I just mentioned in that, you know, if you can work from home, which thankfully I'm blessed to be able to do that, take advantage of it. You know, if there are things that your firm provides, use it. You know, I can access my work computer from home. So that's huge. You know, I can go there. I can finish a document. If I have a lease that I was drafting or a contract I was drafting or whatever it may be, I can finish it up at home and save it and be done with it. And that's huge for me. But for those who may not be aware of what those resources are, or may need something other than what's already available, you know, part of this, too, is not being afraid to ask for what you need. And that is something I've done at my firm, too. You know, if I need some additional time from a paralegal for something, or I can't think of exactly an example, but certainly you need to know that you're valuable and you're there for a reason. You know, other people, other partners or associates, you know, I think sometimes women, when it's something that to us seems like this is something I'm asking for solely to assist me in being, you know, a better associate or a better partner, but also kind of a better mom, we wonder whether or not it's okay for us to ask for those things. I think sometimes we don't want to be too demanding, and I'm not sure what that stems from, and maybe I'm just talking about myself, but I know that, you know, I felt like, especially in my firm where there's only so many women here, you know, to some degree I was trailblazing, and so I needed to sort of look at what was available and not be afraid to ask for what I needed in addition to that, because, you know, they didn't have but so many female directors that came before me that needed things. And they're not accommodations, you know, they're things that I should be able to get, period, I think, you know, so I got a BlackBerry. I made sure that my assistant was available for particular things at particular times when I needed it, and I wasn't afraid to ask for that. You know, for me also, when I first came back to work, you know, I needed time to pump because I was nursing, and I made it very clear that that was something that was important to me and that time was going to be set aside for that. And, you know, you look at the culture of your firm and you know what you need to put out there and what you don't. For me, practically, actually, all of our directors are men, and I work with a fantastic set of men, but still, you know, I made sure they understood that, you know, when the door was closed and a little sign was up, that was really important.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's really important. I wasn't joking. Like, I really, when I said don't open the door, don't open it. You know, I said don't knock, don't call. For real, guys, don't do it. You know, and they all respected it, and no one gave me any grief about it. I mean, they all were kind of like, oh, sure, okay, you can put up a sign, right? You know, and part of it may have been, you know, they were mortified at the thought of walking
That's
in.
That's right.
On me.
I don't think they wanted to walk in.
They were going to do the right thing anyway.
Right.
But, you know, I have female friends that it was a little more difficult for them. And I learned from them. And I said, no, I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to let them know. You know, and I ended up having actually really great conversations with some of the men I work with who really commended me on nursing. You know, they said to me, that's just really fantastic that you're doing it. You know, and one of my directors who I just love to death, he's just so sweet. He always has the best stories for me. He just came to me. He said, oh, you know, in the olden days when my wife was nursing, you know, our boys, you know, she was home and it was so different, you know. And he's like, but here you are and you're still getting in there and you're still getting done what you got to get done. And we really appreciate the fact that you've come back and, you know, and you're really applying yourself. And so we're happy to make sure that you're happy. You know, and I think typically that's going to be the response you get. I think when you leave it unsaid, you know, you just don't know. So you have to put it out there. And also, I think the last thing I was thinking was not being afraid to say no to things. And clearly, there are some things that we all know we cannot say no to, you know. So when that director comes in and he's like, Sherry, I absolutely need you, you know, to respond to this motion. We've got to get on this. And, you know, this is just crazy. We've got to make sure that we're advocating hard for this client. You know, I'm not going to say, actually, no, I think I need to go do XYZ. But if he comes to me and I know what my goals are here in terms of my practice areas, you know, I know what I want to grow and I know what I need to do to some extent to get there. So if I'm just getting another project that maybe is not going to get me where I want to get to, or it's not getting me the work with that partner that I really want to start working more with, and especially if I already have a full plate and it's just going to sort of detract from my attention on these other things and possibly cause me to not be able to be true to the schedule I'm trying to keep and the other goals I have for myself, I say no to it, you know, and you use your judgment, of course, but certainly I think that I realize I don't have to be in all places at all times. I didn't have to be before, but I had this false sense that I had to do that, and I'm learning now that's just not at all true. You know, I come in here and I do the best possible job I can, and I'm timing my responses, and I do all those things. But, you know, no one's expecting me to be Superwoman. They're just not. And so, like you said, you know, I've learned that I can be a little more gentle with myself, and it's okay to set my priorities and set my goals. And when something is extraneous or may not be getting me closer to them, I don't fool with it. You know, there's no room anymore for that. I can't just, you know, there's no room to just, I don't know, to set aside those things that really are essential to me getting where I want to go and being distracted. I have to focus, I guess is what I'm saying. You have to focus and you have to make those decisions. And all of that is part of goal setting and prioritizing. And sometimes you just have to say no.
It's so true that, I don't know, and you said, I don't know if I'm just talking about myself. I would say you most definitely are not. You're at least talking about both you and me, and I would guess a lot of other women. I mean, and I don't know if it's some sort of superwoman complex that we have, mm-hmm. where we feel like we just have to be so above and beyond 100% in order to either be taken seriously or to really be considered professional. I don't know if it's a people-pleasing thing that just comes, it's almost as if we're hardwired as women to want to make everyone happy all the time.
It's
probably a combination of many things, but whatever it is, there is that strong desire to please everyone else and sacrifice the self in the meantime.
Sure.
Whereas, as you said, if we can realize that we don't need to be all things to all people, we don't have to be able to do everything all the time, and we can just focus on what really needs to be done and feel free to both make the ask, as you suggested, and say no. They seem so simple, just saying ask for what you want or say no to really what you don't want. But we don't do it because I think we're so careful to not offend or to not ask for too much. And as a woman, I think sometimes we fear being seen as soft or needy.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Saying, can I have a half hour to pump? I mean, we're afraid to say that that's something that we really need to do. But it is something. And like you said, in actuality, if we just ask so many times, people want to accommodate us. They actually applaud what we're doing. But we're so afraid to even find that out. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Absolutely. Because, you know, we're here for a reason. I mean, I'm in this firm, and they hired me, and they've invested this time in me, and they want me to succeed. You know, they want me to get out there, and they want me to succeed, and they want me to bring more clients in. And so certainly they're going to make whatever reasonable changes they can or provide whatever, you know, make whatever reasonable effort they can to ensure that I can be successful. And I think that that's across the board. And I would like to just say, too, for any of your listeners that are associates, I know particularly from the associate perspective, you know, you're lower on the totem pole, and you're very concerned, I think, about getting to that partner and director level, and you're willing to put in the work, and you're a go-getter, and that's why you're at the firm. And for women, I think you look over and you're like, you know, I'm going to have this child, and that's going to change my life, and is it going to cause me to be left behind? You know, am I going to somehow be maligned because, you know, I have these new changing needs? And you look at your male counterparts, and even when their wives are having children, you know, they take off a week and then they come back to work. And so, you know, you have these feelings inside like, you know, am I supposed to be doing that? Even though you want to, clearly, I'm sure you want to devote that time to your child like I did, you do deal with the guilt, and you deal with whether or not you're being a good worker or whether or not you're being dedicated, but you just have to know that, you know, they value you. You're giving good work and you're applying yourself, and they value enough that they're going to make those changes for you, and they're going to ensure your success. And so, you know, remember your worth at the end of the day, because that's definitely something I had to struggle with a little bit, you know, and I thought, no, wait a minute, I'm worth it. You know, I put in the time, and I intend to continue putting in the time. And I'm no different than, you know, the male associate. I'm no different, and I'm going to work hard for them, and they know it too, you know. And it's okay for me to ask for these things.
I love how you said, remember your worth. I mean, it's something. They're words to remember, just to really remember that we are worth something, and we did work hard to get where we are, and the firm does want us. They're invested in us. They've spent time, they've brought us in for a reason. They've spent time training and investing in us as attorneys, and they want us to succeed. They want us to stay. It behooves them to make sure that we're doing well as well as they are doing well. It's kind of trying to create that win-win where we are at the top of our game because we're feeling respected and honored and taken seriously. And because of that, we're able to produce better results and better work for our clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sherry,
I can't agree more.
I just wrote it down. I always take notes while I'm talking to folks because I think, and I just wrote, remember your worth. I love that. I think it really it sums up so much when it comes to both asking for what we want and need in a very respectful way, of course. I mean, not demanding, but asking for what we need, and also saying no and keeping boundaries around ourselves and our time and our energy and, you know, just things that don't feel like the right fit to us.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering that we have that worth. We have something
Absolutely.
To stand up and defend by setting up some strong boundaries. And that includes boundaries around our time with our family. And that's something worth defending, too.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sherry, I'm wondering, as we sort of wrap up just a little bit our time together, is there anything else you'd like to share on this topic in terms of balancing or aligning, bringing together different facets of your life, you know, for you as a mother, as an attorney, as a servant in the community? Any other last minute tips or things that you'd like to share?
I think I don't necessarily have a tip, but I kind of have a it's okay sort of statement.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I want to definitely share with the listeners is it's okay when you have that moment you think, holy crap, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to juggle this? We all go through that. And, you know, it's okay to struggle with it a bit. I don't at all want to give the impression that, you know, I showed up at work 3.5 months after I had Sophia, and I was just ready to go. I was rearing to go. I knew what I was going to do, you know, that I knew exactly how I was going to balance it, that I even understood what my pump schedule was going to be. I do not at all want to give that impression. I definitely struggled with it for some time, and it was hard because I was dealing with those competing feelings that we've already alluded to and discussed, you know, but it's okay, and it does get better, and you just, you know, to some degree, you just have to just work through it, you know, and you have to have the confidence to say, it's going to get better, I'm going to work through this, I'm going to figure it out, and it's all worth it in the end, you know, but it is difficult. And don't think you're the only one that ever had some difficulty with it, because every female attorney I know has gone through it. They've been there, done that, and you know, they've come out the other side better for it. So I guess I just want to wish everyone luck in finding their balance as well.
Oh, thank you. I think that means so much just for folks to hear that it's, you know, not perfect. It's not as if someone waves a magic wand or fairy godmother sort of flies over us as after we deliver our children or face another major life challenge is changed and sprinkles fairy dust and everything turns out perfectly. It's definitely a work in progress. I think even for folks 20, 30 years in who say, life is still changing. You know, now I'm taking care of my parents or I'm taking care of a spouse or things are still changing and I have to find new ways to create the balance. It's always a work in progress, but there are definitely things we can do that make it easier, that make it a little more graceful, a little more full of ease and fun and just more aligned with who we are and how we want to be living and how we want to be practicing law. So I appreciate your comments and your time so much, Sherry. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been terrific talking to you. And before I let you go, I'd love it if you could share maybe your firm website or what you're up to, if there's anything you'd like readers or listeners to know in terms of how to connect with you in the future.
Absolutely. I am happy for people to connect with me. I love it. I'm a people person. I love talking and sharing whatever I can and learning whatever I can. Absolutely. So my firm website is actually T-M-MLaw.com. So it's T-MLaw.com. And my email is S as in Sherry, F as in Frank, O-X at T-MLaw.com. And our direct line here at the office is 804-649-7545. So if I can be of any assistance, I'm happy to be, and that's where I can be contacted.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that and for being willing to connect with people, because I think the more we can remember that we're kind of in this together, there's a sisterhood of us who are out there doing this kind of work, and even though our life situations may be slightly different, we're still all in our own way trying to find that balance. And it's never a perfect balance, but it is, it's a juggle, and
absolutely,
trying to find that. And we can learn from one another, we can support one another, and we can make the ask as well. When we're
mm-hmm.
open to both giving and receiving, I think we can support each other in so many ways.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, with that, Sherry, I'll close out today's conversation. I'm so grateful to you for reminding us to ask for what we need and to say no to what we don't need in our lives and in our practices. And for all the listeners and readers who are here today or who are encountering these words and the wisdom you've shared, Sherry, I hope that they find something meaningful, something that they can implement. Just maybe it's a very small little gem, maybe something that, wow, it was just something you'd never thought of before. But whatever it is, I hope you can take it away and implement it into your life or your law practice or both in a way that makes a huge difference and makes life a little bit easier and more like the life that you really want to be living and the law practice that you want to be creating. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine of WomenLawyersOnline.com wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you for being here today. Bye-bye.